Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, as well as a link to our videos, which can be found on Messianic Lamb Radio's Lamb Network YouTube channel under the His Word Heals playlist.
Today's program will be part two of our look into the Noahide Laws doctrine.
Some have accused those who speak against the Noahide law teaching as anti-Semitic. While I cannot speak for everyone else, I can tell you that we are not anti-Semitic at all. That is not what motivates me to speak out in opposition to this teaching, and I have prayed for wisdom and discernment on this issue, as I do for every program topic. Therefore, I disagree with those that suggest that being against the Jewish doctrine of the Noahide laws is motivated by anti-Semitism. While it is possible that some who teach against the Noahide laws may be anti-Semitic, anything's possible. However, disagreeing with a Jewish teaching which is not biblical does not make someone anti-Semitic any more than disagreeing with Easter makes someone anti-Yeshua. False is false regardless of whom it comes from.
We will continue by backing up just a bit from where we left off last week for context. We're going to start looking at Romans chapter 11.
This passage in Romans clearly states that once we are redeemed and reborn through Yeshua, we are no longer of the wild olive tree. We are no longer a wild olive branch. We are grafted into the olive tree of Israel, the good tree of Israel. We are no longer separate. We become part of Yahweh's chosen people. We do not replace them, but we are grafted in among them, just as Ruth was, just as Rahab was, and others. Now I'll read Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, or Messiah, Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh or close by the blood of Mashiach. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition or separation between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That would include the Noahide laws, in my opinion. For to make in himself of twain of the two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Elohim, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in Yahweh, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. So clearly in the New Testament we find the teaching that Gentiles are no longer Gentiles once we have been redeemed and reborn through Yeshua. We're grafted into the olive tree of Israel. There is no longer a wall of separation, such as the wall that the Noahide laws are seeking to build back up. There is no more separation between Yahweh's people and the Gentiles who are reborn through Yeshua. We are inheritors of the promises made to Abraham just as much as they are once we're reborn as spiritual children of Abraham through Yeshua. All of the commandments, all of the promises, all of the blessings, and all of the curses belong to us as well as to them. And again, thankfully, the curses have been nullified through our repentance to Yeshua. He took those curses upon himself once we truly repent and turn away from them. Okay, now on to Noahide.org, which is an actual Noahide organization's website, where we are told, speaking of observing the Noahide laws, they say, "A righteous Gentile merits to receive a place in the eternal future world to come in the Messianic era through observance of these commandments." So basically, Yeshua didn't give us the merit of a place in the world to come, but we can obtain that through observance of the seven Noahide laws as laid out by the Jewish religion. Then on that same website, Noahide.org, under the section titled the Noahide Dinim Sublaws, which outlines lots of added detail in explanation of each of the seven Noahide laws, including penalties for breaking them, number 16 of which states, "The court is to administer the death penalty by the sword, i.e. decapitation." This is on a Noahide website, Noahide.org. This is what the Noahides are teaching. At least some of them. I have not found one that teaches otherwise. If you find one that either a Jewish or a official Noahide website that teaches and cites teachings and scripture and Talmudic teachings that teach otherwise, or don't come to the same conclusion after discussing all of the available commentary, please let me know. But anyway, number 16 under the Noahide Dinim sublaw says that the court is to administer, that obviously is the Noahide court that is supposed to be set up, is to administer the death penalty by sword, i.e. decapitation. On this site, the death penalty by decapitation is considered a positive mitzvah, 2:26, the biblical basis of which they cite to be Exodus 21:10, which says, "The sin shall surely be avenged." My next Jewish website speaking to this topic is the website myjewishlearning.com. Under their topic title, The Modern Noahide Movement, unbeknownst to most Jews, there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of Noahides, and most, like the Longs, which is a family, are former Christians who've turned their backs on the faith. This is not the first time the world has seen a community of righteous Gentiles who center their beliefs around Judaism, but Long and his fellow Noahides represent the first modern attempt to take that 2,000-year-old body of theoretic writings and bring it to life as a worldwide movement. And for that, they can largely thank the vision of one 20th century Jewish thinker, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe. Further down in the article, it says, "Ultimately, it is a deep sense of mission that drives Noahides, a strong belief that their chosen lifestyle, no longer Christian but not quite Jewish, can help bring healing to a broken world." So instead of being healed by Yeshua's stripes, the Noahide laws can now help heal a broken world. And then there's NoahideNations.com, another Noahide organization's website. Noahide Nations' statement of faith includes the 13 principles of faith that were formulated by Maimonides Rambam and is as follows. Noahide Nations believes with complete faith that, 1, God is the creator and guide of all things. 2, God is unique. 3, God is incorporeal. 4, God is the first and the last. 5, to God alone it is proper to pray. 6, all the words of the prophets are true. 7, the prophecy of Moses was true and he was the father of all prophets. 8, the Torah as it exists is the one that was given to Moses. Okay, so far. But number 9, the Torah will not be changed and no additional one will be given, which completely nullifies the New Testament, the teachings of Yeshua, the life of Yeshua, the teachings of the disciples. 10, God knows all the deeds and thoughts of men. 11, God's rewards and punishes. 12, the Messiah will be anointed. 13, there will be a resurrection of the dead. So, according to number 9, the Noahides renounce the New Testament as being inspired by God and containing the words of Yahweh as spoken by Yeshua, who said he only spoke the words that the Father gave him to speak. Noahide Nations further believes that due to the righteousness of Noah, mankind was preserved. We believe that Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generations, found favor in the eyes of God, and did walk with God, which God had Moses write in his Torah. So basically, to the Noahides, Noah is to the Noahides as Moses is to Israel, evidently. Noah was a righteous man, but evidently the Gentiles are to look to Noah and not to what Moses was given. We believe that it is the responsibility of all Torah-centered Noahides to spread the truth of God and his Torah throughout the world, and with God's help, bring about world peace. However, I'll add here, Yeshua said that he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, Matthew 10:34. Yes, the peacemakers will be blessed. Yes, we are called to spread his Torah to the nations, but we are also ultimately called to spread the good news, Mark 16:15. The good news of Yeshua resurrected, the message of repentance and forgiveness through his shed blood on the cross or stake to every creature, nation, tongue, and tribe. We are not told, as far as I'm aware, that we are to help bring about world peace. Especially not without Yeshua, who is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. In spite of the sword he came to bring, the sword of his word, he also will be our ultimate peace. We are not, as Gentiles, called to help bring about world peace by denying Yeshua and promoting the 7 Noahide laws. The article goes on to state, under the heading, Noahide Nations Activities, to provide an organization and structure for the education and fellowship of people who will assemble to learn and proclaim the Torah. And in parentheses, they have the Torah specifically laid out, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as being the word of God given to Moses by God at Mount Sinai, and that the prophets Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, Job, the Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles are the inspired word of God. And of course, again, no mention of any of the teachings of Yeshua or the disciples in the New Testament. No mention of learning or teaching of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, nor his teachings by the Noahides in this organization. Okay, so this look at the promoters of the Noahide laws would not be complete without looking at the Chabad website. Chabad is the Jewish sect actively promoting the Noahide laws to the Gentiles, as taught by Rabbi Schneerson, who has even been revered along with his teaching of the Noahide laws by the codification of an education day in the United States in Rabbi Schneerson's honor, the U.S. Congress and President Bush Sr. and every successive president since then, including Trump, has signed and promoted the Education Day in honor of Rabbi Schneerson and the Noahide laws. But that is another program in itself. Just do a search for Rabbi Schneerson, U.S. Education Day, and President Bush, then click on the multitude of websites that come up, including official government archival websites referring to the resolution and Education Day declaration honoring Rabbi Schneerson's birthday and the Noahide laws. Anyway, back to Chabad.org website, which asks, why are the Noahide laws especially important today? Then they answer their own question. Today we are on the verge of a new era for humankind, a time when we will finally live together in peace and the world will be filled with divine wisdom. Those who keep these basic rules, referring to the Noahide laws, will have a share in that world, since After all, they took part in making it possible. So then I add the obvious question here, what happens to those that don't keep these basic rules, the Noahide laws, as outlined, defined, and enforced by those Jews or Jewish organizations that will be in charge of teaching and administering them? According to the Chabad line of thinking, they will not have a place in this new peaceful world. So then what happens to them? I think we saw a glimpse of what potentially happens to those quote-unquote Gentiles who keep the Sabbath or break any of the other Noahide laws previously from the Jewish educator Rafi Mollet and also from Noahide.org. If you're not convinced to at least take another closer look at what the Noahide laws are really all about, we still have a couple more websites to look at. JewishVirtualLibrary.org, another Jewish educational website, under the heading The Seven Noahide Laws, also says, "He who accepts these obligations is considered a righteous person who is guaranteed a place in the world to come." However, this is the only Jewish site I've found thus far that said Christianity is now considered a Noahide religion because Trinitarianism is not forbidden, suggesting that belief in Jesus is okay. However, there is no authority or midrash given to support this statement, as there were in the previous websites I cited above, which all gave the basis for the statements they made regarding the Noahide laws and their enforcement. This website, JewishVirtualLibrary.org, says, "In view of the strict monotheism of Islam, Muslims were considered as Noahides, whereas the statutes of Christians was a matter of debate. Since the later Middle Ages, however, Christianity too has become regarded as Noahide on the ground that Trinitarianism is not forbidden to non-Jews." So there is a modern line of thinking that says that you can still believe in Jesus if you are a Noahide. However, everything that I just read to you from the Noahide websites themselves say absolutely nothing about what Yeshua did on the cross, don't promote teaching it, and say that keeping the Noahide laws is what gets you in the world to come, not what Yeshua did on the cross. So, in essence, you are denying Yeshua anyway, even if you give lip service to the fact that he existed or was part of some Trinitarianism. Okay, keeping in mind the Noahide goal of setting up a Noahide judicial system and the penalty for breaking the Noahide laws being death, even beheading, as we previously read, listen to this Breaking Israel News article from this past December 2018. By the way, Breaking Israel News is a Jewish Israeli news website which basically seems to speak mostly on behalf of or about the current Sanhedrin. This is what the article said when referring to their then upcoming sacrificial ceremony around this past Hanukkah. The title of the article was 70 Nations Hanukkah, Altar and Third Temple. The ceremony will also be part of the Sanhedrin's ongoing effort to establish a Bible-based international organization to replace the United Nations. Then a little further down in this article, they bait you with the following statement, which we wholeheartedly agree with. They say, "It should be emphasized that the Ten Commandments that were given at that time belong to all nations. They were heard all over the world in 70 languages so that every nation would hear these things in their own language, the echo of things. This is as witnessed by the reality that it is the only book in the world printed in every language that has a printed book and was hinted at by the prophet Zephaniah, which says, 'For then I will make the peoples pure of speech, so that they all invoke Hashem by name and serve him with one accord,' Zephaniah 3:9. But wait, I add. Then they switch further down in the article after supporting the Ten Commandments as belonging to all nations. Further in the article, they start promoting the Noahide laws for all mankind instead. They say, 'At that time, we will all serve the one Creator and fulfill the moral obligations incumbent on all mankind. This was the case since the beginning of creation, when he charged Adam with these obligations, and once again he charged those who left the ark after the flood and Noah with his sons, and again at Mount Sinai, giving to humanity seven ironclad rules.' So which is it, the Ten Commandments for all nations, or all humanity following the seven ironclad rules of the Noahide laws?" How did they go from the Ten Commandments belonging to all nations, and then a couple paragraphs later saying the Creator gave humanity only these seven ironclad rules? Anyway, then they go on to elaborate on these seven ironclad rules. These are the seven messages of the Creator of the world to humanity, known as the seven Noahide laws. 1. Belief in God, He who created everything. There is none besides Him, and no one should turn away from Him. That's absolutely true. 2. Blessing Hashem, God, literally the name. Respecting the Creator and the sages who are familiar with His Torah, and respecting the places of worship where the Torah is learned and prayers are recited to Him. It is forbidden, God forbid, to speak harshly against them or to curse them. So, added to the Noahides here, that will be enforced by a worldwide replacement of the United Nations, you will not be allowed to speak harshly against, for example, perhaps disagreeing regarding the divinity of Yeshua being the word of Yahweh made flesh, you will not be able to disagree with or speak harshly against the Jewish rabbis. The next one is stealing, of course. That's a good one. The preservation of the rights of others to property and honor and body, and not to desire to take anything belonging to others that is not for sale. Then the next one is laws, to establish courts to judge justice and to direct society and obey the orders and decisions of the courts. I'll add, presumably, Noahide courts ruling according to these Noahide laws as defined by the Jewish Noahide doctrine. The next one, killing. Do not shorten the lives of people, including the lives of the terminally ill. The opposite is also true, to invest efforts to heal diseases and maintain health. But I'll add here, it is written in Exodus 15:29, I am Yahweh Rapha, meaning Yahweh who heals you. Then the New Testament tells us, by His, Yeshua's stripes, we are healed. And Revelation says, in the millennial kingdom, there will be living water flowing from Yeshua's temple, watering trees that are for the healing of the nations. We are told in Scripture to lay hands on and anoint with oil and pray over the sick. We are not told in Scripture to invest in efforts to heal diseases, even if investing in healing seems like a noble and worthwhile cause. Again, it is written, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof is death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. Next on their list, have mercy on creatures, not to be cruel to animals. One of the most forbidden acts is eating the organ or limb from a live animal. The animal must first be killed in a way that is less distressing, such as cutting the neck. Of course, that's a great rule. Next, prohibition of prostitution, the mitzvah, Bible commandment, to build a proper family life. It is a severe prohibition to commit adultery with a married woman. It is also forbidden to perform a same-sex marriage. Also forbidden is sexual intercourse with animals and homosexuality. Of course, these are biblical commands. My conclusion is that, as with the rules decided upon for new converts to Yeshua in Acts 15:1-31, the Noahide laws might be a great place to start for new believers, but should not be the goal for Gentiles, as is evidently the message being preached forth from not only the Jews, but also the Noahides themselves, in these sites I referred to earlier throughout this program. Perhaps there are other Noahides that I'm not aware of that do not denounce Yeshua, but even if there are, look at what the Jews themselves say about Noahides. They teach that they are not eligible to honor the Sabbath, and that the Noahides can not only earn their salvation through keeping the Noahide laws, but also earn the death penalty by breaking them. Is this what the disciples were preaching against when they said you cannot be saved by the law? Were they refuting a claim by their fellow Jews that Gentiles could be saved by keeping certain laws as defined by them? No, the goal according to Scripture is not keeping these seven laws. The goal is Yeshua, not becoming a Noahide. But Yeshua is completely left out of the picture altogether by Jewish Noahide doctrine. We are called to preach repentance through Yeshua to the entire world, not the Noahide laws. Yeshua is the one who can forgive sins, not the Jews. He is by whom and for whom all was created, John 1:3, and all judgment is given to Him, John 5:22, by the Father, Yahweh. If being a Noahide was Abba's goal for mankind, and the Noahide laws can save, then why did Yeshua die? Creating a worldwide Noahide organization to replace the UN with Jewish Noahide judges who don't even know Yeshua, His mercy, or His salvation is a bad idea, in my opinion. and very dangerous for believers in Yeshua who also believe in and are committed to observing the Sabbath day of rest. In closing, the Noahide laws seem to follow the 80-20 rule, maybe 80% biblical truth, but mixed with at least, probably more, 20% non-biblical lies or falsehood. Remember, we are warning against the Noahide doctrine, not against the Jews. Only this one Jewish doctrine. We welcome true, honest, and sincere discussion on this topic that includes scripture and or published statements from those promoting the Noahide laws that cite actual teachings or midrash which do not deny Yeshua or teach that Gentiles must keep these seven laws to earn a place in the world to come. Just because we disagree with a Jewish doctrine does not mean we are anti-Semitic. Anyone using that argument is only trying to obfuscate the true issue being discussed and shut down any dissenting voices instead of answering with actual facts to the contrary. Thank you for listening. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.